For centuries, Krakatoa was just a tiny blip on the map, an obscure volcanic island off the coast of Java. That all changed one day in 1883, when the volcano blew its top. It killed more people than any other volcano in history. The chaos that followed also sparked a militant Islamic movement in Indonesia. Best-selling writer Simon Winchester tells this story in his book, Krakatoa.
What happened, essentially, was that in May of 1883, it started smoking and erupting in a fairly dramatic but not a particularly notable way. I mean, it was making a nuisance of itself, if you like. And then, without warning, without any warning at all, at 2 minutes past 10 on the morning of Monday, the 27th of August, it suddenly and cataclysmically exploded. And in doing so, it completely annihilated itself. 6 cubic miles of the island, which was essentially all of the island, were thrown about 25 miles into the atmosphere in one enormous explosion. And this, for a few microseconds, left behind a gigantic hole in the sea, if you like, which at the bottom was red hot. Trillions of tons of seawater then cascaded in to fill the hole, and they immediately flashed into steam, which sent out a huge concentric ring of tidal waves or tsunamis, which did most of the damage. These waves, there were 4 of them, and the biggest of them killed just over 36,000 people.
It's astonishing, the whole story. And there are a lot of different things to talk about. I want to sort of start at the beginning, because I think we all have a notion of what an exploding volcano is. In this country, we think about Mount St. Helens, which exploded not all that long ago, and we had a cloud that sailed across the country and caused some small climate change. Is the scale of these anything alike?
There is a similarity, yes. I mean, I happened by coincidence to be at Mount St. Helens when it erupted. I was working for an English newspaper at the time, and it was very, very dramatic, but nothing compared to the drama of Krakatoa. Volcanoes are measured in the same way that earthquakes are. Earthquakes have their Richter scale. Volcanoes have what's called the Volcanic Explosivity Index, the VEI, which is a multiple of the amount of material thrown out times the height to which it reaches in the atmosphere. And Krakatoa, with 6 cubic miles thrown 25 miles, is the 5th biggest in world history so far as the geological community can work out. The biggest of them was called Toba, T-O-B-A, which exploded about 250,000 years ago. Krakatoa is the 5th largest, and way, way down the scale would be a volcano like Mount St. Helens, which is just like a pop gun compared to Krakatoa. The sound of this paroxysmal event was, without a doubt, the largest sound ever generated on the planet since mankind has been around to hear it. Huge sound waves, which presumably go outwards at about 750 miles an hour, allowed this explosion to be heard in Australia, in India and Sri Lanka. As far away, the furthest, the most distant recorded record of this sound was in an island called Rodriguez Island off Mauritius, a British possession, where the local police chief heard what he thought was a distinct cannonade of what he assumed was naval gunfire off to the east. Well, that was 2,968 miles from Krakatoa.
Pulling back to right next to it, then, it must have been absolutely astonishing. I mean, not just loud, but terrifying.
Terrifying. I mean, the ships that were passing up and down the Sunda Strait between Java and Sumatra, which was then, as it is today, a very busy commercial waterway, were devastated. I mean, for a start, they were completely covered with ash and rock. Their sails were on fire. There was lightning coming from the yardarms. The men on board, most of them, something like 80% of all the ships passing through, they had their eardrums shattered. People lost their hearing for something like 100 miles around the volcano. Terrifying. But of course, volcanoes ride over the tidal waves. And so there was no great sinking, although one Dutch warship with, I think, a crew of 28 was physically picked up by one of these waves, carried 2.5 miles inland and then dumped unceremoniously on a rocky ledge, and all 28 of the crew had their skulls shattered when they hit the upper decks. So there were some fatalities at sea, but most were on the land.
You talk about ash on the ships as well. I think I remember you, someone writing that the ash was 8 English thumbs deep.
A peculiar measurement, yes, but very deep. But one of the other bizarre things were these rafts of pumice. When the andesite rock filled with air came down and hit the sea, it floated, just like the pumice we use in our bathrooms today. But these weren't little nuggets of pumice. These were islands several miles in extent. And they caught up in them a lot of dead and dying people and animals. And something like a year later, a party of school children on Zanzibar, which is about 4,000 miles away from Krakatoa, came across a very large piece of pumice on one of their beaches, containing, sort of freighted all the way over the Indian Ocean, scores of skeletons of human beings and of Sumatran tigers.
What would it have been like to be right there? In fact, there were a couple of fishermen who were on Krakatoa, is that right?
A few people were very close and survived. I mean, one of the people whose accounts I think is quite remarkable was a German, I believe, who was on top of a large stone building, which itself was on a hill 100 feet high. The wave towered over him, rushing towards him at between 200 and 300 miles an hour, it's estimated. So it must have been a frightening thing to see. It completely demolished the building he was on, but it didn't kill him. It swept him along on the crest of the wave, and he looked to his right. He's very certain that he was to his right he was looking, and he saw, also being swept along, a crocodile. And with the kind of presence of mind that most of us couldn't imagine having, he decided he might survive if he leapt aboard the crocodile. So he jumped on it and dug his thumbs into the crocodile's eye sockets and surfed for about 2 miles over the jungle until the wave abated, let him and a very, very angry crocodile down among the palm trees, and he ran like the devil and managed to escape.
What an extraordinary story.
Probably not true, I have to say, but it's recorded, and so I thought, well, I'll at least note it down myself.
You know, whether it's true or not, it ought to be. What about after this? In addition to all of the environmental changes, there were social changes that came from this. When that extraordinary sound was heard, when the news of this explosion on the other side of the world was read in the papers, people both close to it and far away wondered whether this was God's wrath.
Yes, but looking at it in a sort of slightly more positive way, people all of a sudden, and sort of Boylston Street in Boston and down in Sydney and Melbourne and in London and in places where people were completely unfamiliar with words like Java and Sumatra and Krakatoa and the Sunda Strait, suddenly were talking about them because the news was full of an event that had happened just the previous day. Did you see, they would say to each other, the news of this extraordinary explosion off Java? I like to think of this event as being the beginning, the starting point, if you like, for the creation of today's global village. It had an enormous social impact on the world.
In the communities nearer to it, I gather that there were also some spiritual side effects.
That, in a way, given our situation in the world at the moment, I think is almost the most interesting byproduct of Krakatoa. In the 18th century, Java and Sumatra were overwhelmingly Hindu. The only part of modern-day Indonesia that remains Hindu is, of course, Bali. But in those days, Java was Hindu. Muslims decided to put an end to this and to convert, as best they could, millions of people to Islam. The eruption occurred, and the mullahs, who had all come from southern Arabia, said this is undeniably a sign from Allah, a sign that the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah, is coming, and he is extremely angry with you Javanese. And he's angry because, and this was a very shrewd move on the mullah's part, he's angry because you are allowing yourselves to be ruled by white Western Dutch imperialists. Rise up and kill them. And so they did, or at least they attempted to, And 5 years later, but essentially triggered by the events on this volcano, an enormous rebellion was fomented, which resulted in the deaths at the hands of Islamic militants of scores of Dutch men and women and children. The Dutch military came in, put the rebellion down, but it was the beginning of the end for Dutch rule. It was the beginning of the creation of what is today's largest Islamic state on earth, Indonesia. It was the first eruption, and I don't mean that as a pun, of militant anti-Western Islamic behavior anywhere in the world. And the final interesting, intellectually interesting aspect of this is that the mullahs that were in Java converting people all came from that one part of the southern Arabian Peninsula known as the Hadramaut, modern-day Yemen, if you like, from where comes Osama bin Laden. So there are parallels which I think are beguiling.
Simon Winchester's book is called Krakatoa, The Day the World Exploded, August 27th, 1883.